my microphone on? No, I'm not going to project. I'm not going to project.
That is muted, and that's okay.
On my phone, it shows it's going into my phone. So yes, thank you. Can you imagine a microphone in this little room? Okay, ladies, let's go ahead and pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this beautiful day and this amazing conference. Thank you for that and all the hard work of the leadership to put this on. Lord, I'm just so grateful for the message that's come from Amanda, because we are to be deeply planted by the water. Our roots are to grow deep in you. And I pray that you bring truth and clarity today, and just be with these ladies and help them again to plant their roots deep in your word and in their relationship with you. Fill me with your spirit, Father. Bring down these nerves and just bless our time together, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so our theme today, She Delights in a Firm Foundation, and the title is The Slippery Slide from Truth. Has God Indeed Said? So we see this passage from Genesis where the serpent begins to lie to Eve, right? He starts lying about who God is and what God says, and we have seen that all throughout history, continuing into today. I just want to ask, ladies, before we really jump in, let's hold questions until the end, just because if I go off track, I'll never come back. I promise we'll have some time for questions at the end. Also, there's a ton of information in here. I wanted you to have all the information I could cram into these 20-something slides. We'll be reading a good portion of it. I'm sorry, I'm not a professional presentation maker, so that's the way we're doing it today. Okay, so many of us have heard of the New Age, right? New Age spirituality. Who here has heard of New Thought before? New Thought. New Thought. I guarantee you've heard what's behind New Thought, okay? But it's categorized under New Thought. So we'll be comparing New Age versus New Thought. We'll look at a little bit deeper into what a New Age is and New Thought, a little bit about Gnosticism. And then how did these ideas in New Thought come into the church? So isn't it odd today that we hear everybody talking about their truth? I no longer have an opinion to share. I have my truth, okay? What about manifestation? Y'all see people manifesting, talking about manifestation? I see it absolutely everywhere. What about the law of attraction? Remember Oprah Winfrey bringing in law of attraction into the Oprah Winfrey show 20 some years ago? Y'all, did anybody watch Oprah back then? Oh, I was done at that point. That was just nonsense. And then we'll talk about Christ consciousness, moral relativism, and self-help. How did the self-help movement kind of propel New Thought into our modern culture? And then we'll move into the word of faith, prosperity gospel, and ultimately progressive Christianity. So what is New Age? The New Age movement is a loose collection of alternative spiritual and cultural beliefs that began in the 60s, but really grew in the 70s. Y'all may remember the Age of Aquarius, the fifth dimension, right? Very New Age. It mixes ideas from Eastern religions, astrology, and holistic health. There's no overall leader. There's no holy book. But its roots really come from 19th century spiritualism and theosophy. Anybody hear of Theosophy by Helena Blavatsky? I think a lot of us know that name. So Theosophy was an esoteric religious movement founded in New York in 1875 by this Helena Blavatsky. It combined Western occultism, Eastern religions like Buddhism and Hinduism. The key with New Age is it's very Eastern, right? It's got Hinduism and Buddhism behind it. And it typically, the other thing is, it typically does not present as Christian. Most of us can recognize New Age when we see it. We can go down to Manitou Springs and walk down to look at those shops and go, yeah, I'm going to pass. I'm going to just keep walking, right? Okay. Did I already move my slide? I did. Okay, so let's look at the core beliefs. Monism, all is one. Pantheism, all is God. Self-empowerment, a focus on personal enlightenment. Channeling, communicating with spirit guides. And optimistic evolution. Human consciousness is on the verge of a major evolutionary leap. It includes things such as karma and reincarnation, yoga, tarot cards, all of these different kinds of things. I did want to point out, since she brought up reaping and sowing, Amanda did earlier, I just want to point out karma. I hear a lot of people talking about karma these days. Karma is, according to New Age, it's what happens in the next life. It's not what happens in this life. That would be the biblical principle of sowing and reaping. Okay, now let's look a little deeper into New Thought. New Thought is a 19th century spiritual movement centered on the power of the mind, positive thinking, and the belief that our thoughts create our reality. Starting to sound a little bit familiar? Okay, now early influencers, Emanuel Swedenborg. This fellow, he's considered really the grandfather of New Thought, if you will. He used to converse with angels. And then we have Mr. Franz Mesmer. Does that name sound mesmerizing to you? He was a hypnotist. And then we have key figures, Ralph Waldo Emerson. That's a very well-known name, right? He was really considered the father, if you will, of New Age thought. And he used to teach that facts and feelings are equal. Then we have his contemporary, Phineas Quimby. Phineas Quimby was considered the father of positive thinking. Then we have Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science. Now, she definitely, you know, taught New Thought, but she started to get dogmatic. That is absolutely not allowed in New Thought. That's a core belief. Dogmatism has no place in New Thought. Then we have Warren Feld Evans, who was the first mind cure author. And finally, we have Napoleon Hill. You ever hear of Think and Grow Rich? You ever read that book? Hear about that book? It's a really, really famous book for like 100 years. It's crazy. So he also used to have visitation with angels. He would visit with Abraham Lincoln, who gave him some really great advice once. Of course, Lincoln was long dead, but okay. So let's look at the core beliefs in New Thought, the omnipresence of God. God is not a distant judgmental entity, but an all-powerful, universal, infinite intelligence or energy that presents itself everywhere and in everything. That sounds very much like pantheism right there. The divinity of humanity. Every individual possesses inherent divinity and a spark of the creator. That's one of their terms, the spark of the creator. Then we have mind over matter, or otherwise known as the creative power of thought, where adherents believe that thoughts can become things. And the mind-body connection. Sickness and misfortune are viewed as originating in the mind and as a symptom of a false self or incorrect thinking. Consequently, you need to correct your thinking. You need to have affirmative prayers and creative visualization in order to achieve your healing. And then finally, we have universal brotherhood, which is really what I see as a core principle, more core than maybe the others. The highest spiritual principle is unconditional love, emphasizing spiritual unity and the importance of helping and healing one another. One of the problems here is their definition of love. Their definition of loving others, means letting go of the need to fix, control, or change others. Rather, offering acceptance and acceptance freely and maintaining a clear and peaceful mind. So you can see this distortion of the terminology and the definition of love. Now, New Thought is more Western and it's more insidious than the New Age. It's going to be much harder to detect. In essence, it's a more esoteric version of New Age metaphysical teaching. It presents itself as more Christian. This is the scary part. And we've already seen just an example of changing a definition. They're big into changing Christian definitions, and we'll see a little bit more of that later. It's actually more Gnostic. However, not all New Thought teachers will present themselves as Christian, but a lot of them do. A lot of these New Thought teachers, or I would say teachers or pastors have adopted the New Thought methodology and brought it into the church. Okay, let's look at Gnosticism. Gnosticism is a religious movement that claims salvation comes from secret mystical knowledge rather than faith in Christ's death and resurrection. It's a blend of Greek philosophy, Eastern mysticism, and early Christian ideas. A few key concepts in Gnosticism: the two gods idea, the evil of matter, and the divine spark. They believe human souls contained a trapped divine spark that could only be freed from the corrupt world through secret knowledge. Now, many of you are I'm sure, aware that they were fighting this in the first century church, right? This is something that the New Testament authors wrote about, because that's, they took those early Christian ideas and blended it into their other mysticism. Okay, let's look at the way New Thought has hijacked Christian language and made new definitions. So Jesus in New Thought is a great human teacher who was able to awaken his inner divinity, much like Gandhi or Buddha. His main teachings were love, acceptance, and tolerance. We know Jesus to be the pre-existent God-man. He is fully God, fully man. He died on the cross for our sins. He was fully sinless, and the second member of the Trinity. Christ is the inner divine spark in New Thought within all humanity. However, that spark is dormant and it needs to be awakened. And that's what Jesus did. He was able to awaken, recognizing the Christ within himself. So Christ in Christianity, we know, is the anointed one, the Messiah. That is a title for Jesus Christ. Crucifixion in New Thought is all of life's most difficult challenges. Maybe you've lost a loved one or gotten a bad medical diagnosis, so you are being crucified, okay? Crucifixion, we know, is the literal method of Roman execution on a cross, and that's how our Lord and Savior died. What about resurrection in New Thought? It's a metaphor for the continual spiritual process within us and is symbolic over our victories in life. Whatever those small victories are, we have been resurrected. And we know the resurrection was when Christ was raised from the dead on the third day. He was sinless and death could not hold him. What about God? Not a he, but a universal divine mind or an it. We know God is the omnipotent creator who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Trinity, a symbolic metaphysical representation of the trichotomous nature of human beings as spirit, mind, and body. And we, of course, know that the Trinity is one God who manifests himself into three persons. I have a whole other page on New Thought definitions, so please read that on your own. I don't have time to cover those today, but very, very interesting stuff. Okay, next we're going to look at some culturally significant ideas that have made their way into culture and even our churches today. We'll look at manifestation and the law of attraction. Manifestation is the practice of turning thoughts, beliefs, and energy into real-world outcomes. And then we've got a quote from the Be Hypnotized website. Manifestation is the practical application of turning your desires into reality by aligning your energy, thoughts, and beliefs with what you truly want. The energy you radiate, your frequency, will attract similar energy, therefore similar experiences back to you. It's about aligning your heart with the new reality you'd like to attract. Now this, like I said, this is everywhere. So imagine my horror as a Bronco fan watching an interview with my favorite quarterback, who's also a former Duck, and he presents himself as a young man who loves Jesus, right? He's very open about his faith. However, he tells the interviewer that he manifested his being drafted by the Denver Broncos.